see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Okay, welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. For those joining us today, this afternoon, on this end of the week, welcome. This broadcast, this Bible study, is brought to you by the love, by the Watchmen for Jesus Network. And we thank you all for showing up, coming by today, tonight. Boy, I tell you, broadcast sometimes gets sticky when I do the broadcast 4 to 6. Boy, I tell you, you get on a track of trying to look back over everything's connected, and it just really, man, it makes you tired sometimes. I'll be honest with you. It's very complex, complicated what's going on. It's almost surreal just to step back and see how this is all organized. It's just, you know, you almost, in a way, sometimes you say, I wish I didn't know this, you might say. But that's what got us in this fix all along. Is not knowing what's going on, but we've been lied to since the beginning. I mean, it's just really so surreal. You know, you ever think about it. The ones that know how deep this conspiracy really goes, it's just amazing. How Satan has this set up. I mean, there's no way human beings could have done this. No way possible. Set up this conspiracy as it is. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, and the problem is, that is the problem, because you get caught up in the study of it. And ooh, ah, wow, amazing stuff you learn, all that sort of thing, can pull you away from the real bottom line, and that's about Jesus Christ. get caught up in the history and all the, gosh, I didn't know that. Wow, I didn't know that either. And you forget really who wins in the end. So being really careful about getting caught up into it and losing perspective, because it sure can happen, I'll tell you. Well, tonight I want to talk about other religions, some of the heresies that's being put out there. And don't take my word for it. You do your own research. And I'll point out certain beliefs that are that have millions of followers that they're on the wrong track. Man, they're way off the track. And they still use the Bible. It's being twisted. Kind of makes me a little uncomfortable to talk about them, I guess, at a certain point. Because there's at the highest level, they have millions of followers. It's like, well, wait a minute. What do you know that they don't? What do they know that you don't? So you have to go back to the basics, back to the Bible, exactly what it says. I'm going to talk about quite a few tonight. And you also, you can find the Bible Believer's Handbook of Heresies. If you have it on the Word, Microsoft Word, it's like 48 pages long, but I use it as a guideline. And then, of course, I always use three or four other documents to never take one document as source. I go many different documents. So, what I'm going to do here is get started. And we'll start off, give a prayer. And to dedicate the broadcast, and I may be stammering and stuttering a little bit tonight because I want to make sure I get right what I got to say and give you some guidelines, give you something that you can use, that I can use, that all of us can use, to talk to other people. Now, I got a harsh way sometimes. I've been working on that about myself sometimes. I got to scale down a little bit, and I have quite a bit from what I used to be, but is use the right word. Sometimes a way to lead someone is by asking questions. It's not always the easiest way. We won't say, this is what it is, this is how it's going to be. Well, that works in Paris Island, but not today. Not out here. It may work that way in Paris Island. But it might have worked back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, but not today, by no stretch of imagination. And that's not how Jesus did it, actually. He'd ask questions. He'd make people answer themselves. See, that's a clever way of doing it, is get the person to answer their own question. But you ask the question in such a way that they come out with the answer. It's like, oh. And then sometimes they don't want to answer the question because they know the question and the answer contradicts what they're saying with their own mouth. Now, that's the way you do it. Because when you accuse somebody or attack their religion, they will dig in. And that is a principle that is used by the Illuminati, by using their preachers, their ministers, their orchestrators, like Terry Jones, for example, to burn the Quran. People that don't understand that, they'll say, well, yes, he's a patriot. He's a P2 at the highest level, a P2 of intelligence, trained in Germany, and they know. See, his job was to create conflict, and it worked when he was doing his thing. And his was to burn a Quran, knowing very well it would start those riots because they were coordinated with him. He's part of that agenda, pretending to be patriot, pretending to be a Christian. He's not at all. He's part of the intelligence agencies and so forth. And they knew that by burning the Quran, that gave the justification for the Muslims to start, the ones organized, to start their burning and carrying on. And then Rick Warren forms the Chrislam, the watered-down, lukewarm version of Christianity and Islam at the same time, that they'll bring people in. Man, they got them every place. Satan has got this so set up. So it's not about religion. That's the first thing to get out of it, is religion. Because Jesus is not about religion. He's about our salvation. He's the creator. Lord, we thank you tonight. We come together for a Bible study. Father, lead us tonight in dividing the truth. Guide us with your Holy Spirit along the right path to look through deception. Father, give us wisdom and discernment tonight, please. Father, forgive us our sins. We lay them before you in our heart, individually. That, Father, you'll spread us with the blood of Jesus around us to protect us, guide us with no interruptions, and to keep our minds focused on your word, your promises. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our veterans. Father, you'll heard our prayers every time about their protection, about the those seeking your face, Lord, being deceived, that you'll open up their eyes, put them in the right path. Divine appointments that's going to lead them in the right direction. Father, we pray against this Wicca, Satanist, Luciferians. Father, we pray against them. That, Father, even among them, though, that, Father, you'll open up the eyes of those that are, is when you strip down their protection, that, Father, you'll find and bind the Holy Spirit to the hearts of those, Father, you know is going to convert over to bring others with them. But, Father, to expose them for who they are, that's the first step. And, Father, protect the children away from these sacrifices they're being abducted for at the highest level. Father, find ways for them to escape or give them comfort in their times of trouble. Father, use these disasters and events that's taking place in your glory to bring those that's going to follow you out of this turmoil. Father, give us that wisdom, discernment to be able to see through the deception that's coming even through the pulpits today. And to raise up your army of that's going to preach the true word of God through the Holy Spirit. As we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, some basic principles in praying on the armor of God is a good way to start. And nowadays, see, I happen to believe, and I actually happen to know, that there's Wiccans, witchcraft that comes after you. They form little groups. They pray in their prayer, whatever they do, against you, if they're focused on you. They got all kinds of things, ladybugs. But I mean to tell you, some things I learn every day, I don't know. It's just these, and it's all, you got these pictures and New Age kind of diagrams and just all kinds of spirit filled, I don't know, and I don't mean in a good way either. Curses that are not really just curses, but they're not obvious curses, like a ladybug thing. I never knew about that. But, man, they're everywhere. But it works. it works. You know, and it doesn't work for you. It works against you. And they can put spells and stuff on you. If you're not covered in the blood of Jesus and not to the, put the full armor of God on, man, you're going to start feeling stuff. It'll actually affect your body. It'll cause things to happen if you're not protected. When you read those fortune cookies, for example, you say, oh, come on, man, leave my fortune cookies alone. I love them. Yeah, and you read the cute little saying, well, look, what you're really doing, honestly, is I'm giving power to this fortune cookie by just reading it. It's cute. Yeah, it's all cute. And you find it amazing that sometimes it comes true. Well, what you're doing is giving power to it and permission. When you play the Ouija board, you play the horoscope, you do all that, you're looking for that. You want to know. Well, the Holy Spirit's put away on that one. See, he's gone. Like, you want it? There you go. So the demons will make sure those fortunes come true in some way or another. They always come close, but never exactly. And you're like, wow, it works. So you depend on a fortune cookie or some eight ball you turn upside down. You know, you remember that? Or Ouija board. And that thing works. Family, they use those things. And they, by you using it, you give permission for those demons to operate. You see? And a Christian can become demonized. That's not the same thing as possessed. It's different. A whole lot different. Possession is different. And it's real. You see, these police psychics, they're real. But the problem is, it's not their skills. They're involved in the occult. They are possessed. Your super soldiers in the Pentagon and so forth that do the astral travel, the remote viewing. It's not them that's doing the remote viewing. It's a demon inside relating to their spirit. Oh, but I lived before. I was king something or another. I was prince whatever 200 years ago. It's not the reincarnated individual, you. It's a demon that knows that period of time, knows that prince, knows that whatever, literally, and gives you those memories supernaturally because you've somehow been possessed. You've been demonized with it. That's how some of these people say and describe under hypnosis. Very accurate evidence that they were reincarnated. Well, they weren't reincarnated. It's the memory given to that spirit, that soul, by virtue of a demon that's passing that information on. Now, I don't know who's new tonight and who's been listening to me before, but I explained there's three ways they do that. How they bring this kind of knowledge to the human being. It's really amazing. It's how it works. It's real. If you're a Christian and you're possessed ownership by God, in a manner of speaking, but you're demonized by spirits outside, that's why the full armor of God is necessary. It is very necessary. It's a technicality, but one that confuses many believers. You as a believer can attend church on a regular basis, still be demonized. Now, people don't realize that. They get mad at you when you say that. You know, who do you think you are telling me I'm demon? That's different from being possessed, a whole lot different. There's areas in your personality where you're not in full control. So you may still attend service, but you're affected by demons. They have them in churches. They have them in churches, you see. Very complicated how it works. That stained glass windows, I'm not going to that tonight, but stained glass windows and the sun coming through, radiation, oh, that opens up a whole new area of discussion. What really goes on with different colors. Radiation through the colors, the vibration level, etc. It gets really detailed. There's a reason for stained glass, by the way. And it's not good either. Family, you're not of this world. There is nothing on this world for us. Someone told me that, and I just said, wow, well, yeah, you know, I've been talking about that myself, but you're not of this world. You can't be with Christ and be of this world at the same time. To be delivered from a sickness, you must be delivered from the demon. Now, you tell people out there, including Christians, this, they're going to think you're crazy. But it's actually true. What do they think? I mean, they don't read the Bible or what? Yeah, they do. So what do they think they're reading? I used to teach teachers of different weapons and martial arts and all this. And one of the things we taught in the martial arts, of course, that's another story. Now that I've started learning more about supernatural and how martial arts and breathing, yoga, development of chi and strength and all that kind of stuff, pressure points and how to cause pain on the body. But in any case, it's not the students. When you got bad students that are ill, attitude, cocky, it's not the student. Who is it? It's the teacher. It's always been a principle. You don't have bad students. You just got bad teachers. They know. Principle is education is how they plan for the future on a long term. Develop a core belief. Then to change that core belief almost takes it twice as long to unseat a core belief it does to make one. That's what they're trying to do with us in America, but that's another story. That's where the New Age comes in. So as a believer, you can attend church on a regular basis and still be demonized, and that means that there's areas in our personalities where we're not in full control. Am I homosexual? No. Am I heterosexual? Yeah. So that'd be the first separation, and then heterosexual. Okay, well, how much of one are you? You know, you're a sex addict or whatever. I'm not going to answer that question. But nevertheless, you like looking at little books with naked people on it, or do you have a certain fetish of some kind that Satan will find out? He knows by trial and error. Not wisdom discernment, but trial and error. They see from a supernatural point of view. What does that mean? Invisible. You can't see them, they can see you. And they'll try to find a weakness, just like Satan tried to find with Jesus. Couldn't find one, though. What defeated him? Knowing Scripture. Knowing the truth. They look for your weaknesses. And you don't have any, they're going to find something outside of you to somehow, they'll find it. That's why you need the full armor of God. The demon can still be inside a church, but the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you can force a demon out to be true. It's even true for sickness. You have members of the church who are sick with various illnesses, and that's nothing but an affliction of demonization. Almost all of it is by demonization. By causing abominations within your body, opens up portals for demons to come in. You see how it works? Perfectly clear. You don't hear about this on modern churches today. Not that preachers don't know. Surely they know, because they've taken lessons. They've read the Bible. That's the first step. This is the first subject Jesus Christ talks about whenever he speaks to the works within the church. He tells us to cast out demons. Well, the Catholic Church says, well, we're the only ones who can do it. There is a cooperation between demonic realm and the priests that are exorcists. There's also a cooperation between demons and magicians that's given their life to Satan. The demons do the tricks, and you can't see them. Therefore, for us humans, we see as magician making things rise and all this crazy stuff. It's the demons doing it. Oh, there's tricks. I mean, there's tricks they use, but the very serious magicians have made a pact with Satan. And so, same thing with witch doctors. And same thing with false religions. The people get possessed. They get pulled into it. They get mesmerized by charismatic leaders. And here we go. So, the Catholic Church decided to cast out demons. You need a specialist, or whatever they call an exorcist, and the same goes for your home. And so this tradition began then and been passed down through all the churches to this day. There's two things that Satan does not want revealed, that he and demons actually exist, that we have an authority through Jesus Christ over the demons. Everything he's doing, everything on the world, the seven areas we've talked about, is all to keep you from away from knowing about demons and to keep you from knowing that you have authority through Jesus Christ over demons. This actually kind of brings up this clash, this between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And revealing these secrets, it brings up the supremacy of God's kingdom over Satan. This is what's really going on today. And it's not immigration. It's not New World Order. All these are symptoms of a bigger picture. Much bigger picture. So Satan has infiltrated the churches. And why wouldn't he? And he does that by having false religions. Just like a body has got disease, weaknesses, the body of Christ has weaknesses. So he invents religions and religions within religions. That's where we get to. Abominations. Not only the body, but also of theology. What was one of the first miracles that Jesus Christ performed? He cast out demons. They've changed the Bibles, except for the King James, and the verses they've taken out have to do with spiritual warfare. Now, I'm going to So what the demons do is similar to what the corrupted religions do. But I'm not going to go toward talking about demons tonight. That's as far as I want to get on that. Because we're focusing now on the way they manipulate religions. So that brings us to that point. It's creating an abomination within the church. So, first of all, principles to learn that you can use when talking to Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm just going to talk a basic right now. Then I'm going to get specific. You might want to write some of these down, or if not, it'll still be recorded here. But the basic principle is, in all cases, is first to realize that God loves you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16 is realize that God loves you. The second thing is to realize, and here's where it gets real sticky, is that everyone is a sinner. Now, boy, that's a sticky one. You see what they've done? Tony Robbins, Joel Osteen, etc., etc., et al. For us to realize we're a sinner. I'm a Marine. How dare you call me something bad? You see, pride. Pride in America. Pride in, it's completely opposite. This is hard for me to say. I mean, I've always thought in pride in my football team and playing, and pride in my work, and pride in, that's normal. And they've got it written on cue cards and jingles, and it's normal to say, I got pride in my work. Boy, what you talking about? You know, take pride in your uniform. You did a good job today. I take pride in my work. You see, it's so ingrained in us that to say otherwise is like, hey, you say that again, sucker, you better duck next time. I mean, you know, it gets into it. It's completely opposite from what we're taught. Pride goes before the fall. To admit that you're a sinner, woohoo! You're going to get a job at Microsoft, and you go up and say, well, I'm a sinner, but I'm, you know, do you have pride in your work? I don't do pride. You don't do pride, you're going to get hungry. Then you got to depend on God for sure, because you're not going to get a job these days, you see? I'm sort of being a little bit over, but it's almost true. We're not of this world, literally. And the more I study this, the more I realize it, what that really means. And then when you start learning about the New World Order, the truth about it, man, you start losing friends fast. Then you start putting the quote-unquote spiritual religious part of it, which is really the priority, man, you really start losing friends even faster. And that includes family. Really, really fast. And you start feeling the separation and division. Did you know that when the Abrahamic covenant, when God gave the covenant to Abraham, who was the first Jew, God knew this was going to happen. He had Abraham to move away from his family. Because he was the first Jew. Hebrew Jew, real Jew. And it says in the Bible about where Abraham had to move. Told him to leave his family. Now, that don't mean because you become born again. You say, where are you going, honey? I'm moving out because you're all pagans. No, you don't do that. But there is some degree of truth to that in a way. But you all, wife to sanctify the husband, husband to sanctify the wife, and so forth. But there is a separation. But let's go back to what I was saying. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now look back. Yes, I've been a massive sinner. And you catch yourself looking at pictures. You catch yourself, you know, you look at the cute, colorful bottles of Jack Daniels and all this. You're like, it's like a candy store, you know. To go back to drinking hard liquor. That's how they got the bottles. Notice that. The bottles are so appetizing. They got different colors and all this. It's like, gosh, that got to be something good when you pour it out in the glass. Because look at that bottle. You see what they've done? That's so clever. And everything becomes a habit. An addiction. That opens up a portal for a demonic entity to be demonized. You see how it works? And so, all of sin becomes sure of the glory of God. This is the battle that's going on every day. So first, realize that God loves you. Second, realize that everyone is a sinner. That's the hardest part in the world because it's got so ingrained to be prideful. Third, realize that sin does have a price that must be paid. It's got a price. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. People don't realize that you don't color code lies. If I want to steal, nobody looking, I'm going to just take that dime. It's exactly the same thing if I said, man, there's $10,000. They don't even know it's there. I'm taking that, man. I'm taking it. Hey, it don't matter. There's no amount that equals more sin of another. One's a greater sin than the other one is not the case at all. My heart says I'm going to steal, whether it's a dime or $10,000 or a dime. It doesn't matter. The thievery is what God looks at. End of story. If I commit adultery physically in Hotel 6, hello, Motel 6, whatever it is, or if I look upon a woman and say, whoa, check that out. Oh, man, you got a ring? Oh, yeah. Don't matter. I've already committed adultery. Both don't matter if I went to the hotel, motel, whatever, or what I did in my mind, I've committed adultery in God's eyes. You see? That's by virtue of the Holy Spirit after the resurrection. Convicts our heart. He's in all of us. So I've committed the sin. There it is. Well, there's a price that's got to be paid. For that, I am condemned. So I must die. Well, that means separation from God. That's the second death. First death is a physical death. Second death is separated from God. Only way to get through that is through Jesus Christ. I mean, born again means a change takes place. A visible, physical change. You don't do some of the things you did before. You have an inclination to do certain things, yeah. But then you feel that guilt. That's a good thing. So Tony Robbins et al. Says, don't feel guilty. Do as thou wilt as the whole of the law. You see how that works? Man, they got this thing worked out. Do good deeds. Give money to church. They get you through it. Feel bad? No problem. Go to church, listen to rock and roll music, and wave your hands back and forth, and, I feel better already. Oh, it's called confession of that sin. God wants to know you did wrong. That means I got to get rid of pride. Admit I messed up. And know that I can't come back to life, that my sin has to be covered by blood. Death. Who did that already? Jesus did. He was sinless, but he paid that price. We're bought with a ransom. I'm really starting to understand this. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He came back to life. Nobody else can. Notice everybody says, I'm coming back. Houdini, Alice Crowley, all of them think that they're coming back. Reincarnation, coming back. I got news for him. And I'll be coming back. When's the next one? When's the first one ever came back? It hadn't happened yet. That's why they're obsessed with not dying. They want to live life by unnatural means because they don't want to die. Because they're afraid. Number four, realize that Jesus Christ died to pay your price. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How come the others can't fake coming back from the dead? How come Jesus was the only one that could fake it? Because he didn't fake it. No one's going to die for a lie. All of the disciples died horrifically, except for, of course, Judas committed suicide for obvious reasons. John died old age, but the others were killed. Clearly in Peter, it shows in Acts 12:4 of what he was imprisoned. So Peter was the Pope, right? No. So they imprisoned the Pope? No, they didn't. Peter wasn't no Pope. He wasn't the first Pope at all. That King James Bible must give them a heartache. Anyway, Acts 12:4, he was saved by Herod at Easter. It says Easter in the King James Bible. It shows clearly in King James 12:4, Acts 12:4, Easter is pagan. The Bible shows you it is. Anyway, all the disciples died horrifically. So, they denied him when he was being taken. It's documented. I don't know him. Not me. No, I don't know him. No, I don't know him. He came back. Some of them still didn't believe when Mary said he's alive. Dog, get out of here. They still didn't believe. Thomas. Yeah, Thomas. Couldn't they have picked a different name? Thomas. He took nobody's word for it. Till he actually saw Jesus. My Lord, my God. Testimony. He didn't say, my Lord. He didn't say, oh, Jesus Christ, how's God? He said, my Lord, my God. Call Jesus God. Because he knew throughout the ministry that when he was with Jesus, that Jesus was claiming to be God. He just echoed what he'd heard and learned by walking with Jesus. My Lord, my God. He wouldn't have said he's my Lord, my God, unless he thought that he was God incarnated. You see, one of the best testimonies of the Bible, the proof he says, my Lord, my God, right there Jesus is. Well, they wouldn't have died proclaiming that if they had denied him first. And here they died horrifically, spreading the gospel. They would have said, no, you're right. We faked it. But they didn't do that. So how come Buddha, Mohammed, how come somebody had created another hoax? You mean Jesus is the only one? No, Jesus was dead, rose again, ascended, everything. Nobody's refuted it. Nobody's ever copied it. And nobody's going to die for a lie. You'll say, well, terrorists do. Nope. Terrorists die for the truth as they think it is because they're brainwashed. They believe they're dying for the truth, for their cause or whatever. Because they're brainwashed into believing it's true. So they're not dying for a lie in their mind. So neither did the disciples. And all of them died horrifically. You see how it works? And even today, they really can't disprove it. They still can't do it. They come up with all these claims, God is dead, 1960s and all that. Everything just does what? Falls away. It just goes away. Because the Holy Spirit is there to bring truth to the heart. So fourth, realize that Jesus Christ died to pay price. Wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ paid for it. And finally, a basic principle is, pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Claim his promise of eternal life in Romans 10:35. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now those simple five areas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is the basis of talking to someone about God. Now that being said, where do we go from here? This is not easy. I'll be honest with you. It's not easy. I talked about Jehovah Witnesses. We talked about last night. Shepherd's Chapel, man, that's a sticky one. Let me tell you. Man, because that's a dangerous place. I'll tell you right now. Because they're linked up to Christian Identity. I found many links to them. Fred Phelps and James Dobson and the Family Research Council, Westboro Baptist Church. Yeah. Whoo, men are all connected to this Christian Identity. They hit on all the Kenite things going on. Cain is the son of Satan and Eve. And, oh, my goodness, they just go on. And they are determined. They have preachers out there that are trained. And, boy, they're venomous. Let me tell you. And the people you talk to are just like you and me. There's normal people that, you know, they fight for that Christian Identity thing going on, man. They really do. Well, I just say, Butler, right? Butler. Well, is not KKK part of the Christian Identity, an Aryan nation? Need I say more? And they will fight that tooth and nail. It just goes over their head that, well, that's another side of Christian identity, they say. Or they even disagree with each other. It's like, man, don't y'all see what's going on? It's called demonized. In a lot of the churches today, it's really bad. Now, okay, let's just jump into it. Jehovah's Witnesses, you see them all the time. They search out the obituaries. They attend funerals, ride around on bicycles. Why they do the obituaries? Well, this sends you little pamphlets and a really nice letter of condolences and leads you toward the Kingdom Hall, y'all. And that's how they pull you in. Some of them are already pulled in. They come up to my door about 3 or 4 times now since I've been living here in Mount Airy. And these were the ones in the cars, not in the bicycles. Really nice folks. I say, sure, come on in. And let them talk, and they start reaching for the pocketbook or reaching for the something under the Bible, whatever, to pull out. And I said, okay. And I said, all right, here we go. And I just start throwing it out. King James Bible is the only true word of God in the face of the planet. Do you know that? Do you have any idea about that? You understand it, right? And I tell about Jesus Christ as God incarnated in human flesh, and now it starts getting really sticky. And I've been trying to figure a way out how to really talk to them without them running out the door, leaving the streak to the car. So I've been doing some studying on it. And I mentioned that, a little refresher, that the Jehovah's Witnesses started out in Pennsylvania in about 1870. And it was a Bible class led by Charles Taze Russell. And they named the group Millennium Dawn, Millennial Dawn Bible Study. Charles T. Russell. Family Russell was Illuminati, like Bundy's Illuminati. That's a sure sign right there. He named the group the Millennial Dawn Bible Study, and he began writing a series of books called the Millennial Dawn, stretched over 6 volumes, and before his death contained much of the theology of Jehovah's Witnesses that now hold out. What I found interesting was Charles Taze Russell his monument is a pyramid. His monument's a pyramid. How about that? They just it's so obvious. And Ellen G. White, her monument is a obelisk. She was also a Freemason under the Seventh-day Adventists. Oh, goodness gracious. And they all know each other. It's all connected. Unbelievable how all this is connected up. And even, what's her name, Helena Blavatsky, knew Albert Pike in his later years. amazing. And you'll find them developed, connected. So, in any case, your Jehovah's Witnesses. I mentioned last night that Judge Rutherford was Russell's friend and successor. He wrote the seventh and final volume of the Millennial Dawn series and the finished ministry, they called it, in 1917. And the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society was founded in 1886, became the vehicle which the Millennial Dawn movement became distributing their views to other people. So the group then changed its name. It was called then Russellites until about 1931. And then from the Russellites, it split and was renamed Jehovah Witnesses. The group, which it split, became known as Bible Students. And they have subjects of the deity of Christ, salvation, the Trinity, Holy Spirit, the atonement, that they do not hold the Orthodox Christian positions on these particular subjects at all. They believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. And what's interesting is the New Agers believe in Michael the Archangel as a different Michael than in the Bible. Freemasons believe that Jesus is Lucifer because of the scriptures, Isaiah 14:12, Luke 10:18, and Revelation 22:16. They use those three scriptures, Revelation 22:16, Luke 10:18, and Isaiah 14:12, to prove that Jesus is Satan. But only in the other Bibles, not the King James. And they prove it, using that scripture, of course. But you can't do that with the King James Bible. I've explained that before, but I won't right now. You can probably see it yourself. Isaiah 14:12 in the NIV or New American Standard Bible, ESV. And then you look at Luke 10:18. Satan fell like lightning. And then Revelation 22:16, Jesus says, I'm the bright morning star. And that's either also a Freemasonry trick that they use. But King James Bible, you can't do that because Lucifer, Isaiah 14:12, talks about Lucifer falling. And that putting Lucifer in there kind of messes things up for him. Jehovah's Witnesses believe Jesus is Michael the Archangel. He's the highest created being. And what that does, that contradicts Scripture, obviously. Clearly, of those that believe that declare that Jesus to be God, John 1:1-14 I talked about, John 1:1 and John 1:14. Jehovah's Witnesses believe also salvation obtained by combination of faith, good works, and obedience. Well, that contradicts countless scriptures that declare salvation is received by grace through faith. John 3:16 we just talked about. Ephesians 2:8-9 and Titus 3:5. They reject the Trinity, as does Shepherd's Chapel in a certain way. Now, everybody's got their little tricks to it. They believe that Jesus to be a created being, Holy Spirit to be essentially the inanimate power of God. And you know, that brings up a point in my head. Joyce Meyer's Word of Faith, very closely similar. They believe us all to be little gods running around. You're a little god, I'm a little god, says ye become as gods. Well, in the Bible, it means judicial, legislative, lawgivers and takers and givers and whatever, makers. Not little divine gods running around with crowns on your head and say, come over here, shine my shoes. I'm going to create something today. No. God's little g administrators of justice. Well, T.D. Jakes and Dollar and Copeland, definitely Copeland, Joyce Meyer, said, we all little gods. Well, that's also, listen to, that also ties in with Mormonism. See, because Mormonism, you're going to inherit your own planet. And I've had a Mormon tell me, oh, that's only for higher level Mormons. I said, oh, goodness, oh, okay. We don't believe that. I said, you don't believe it? No, it's only for higher level. Oh, he had to tell me that. So there's a, about us becoming gods, and that's exactly what the New Agers believe. Is that mankind is getting ready for its next evolutionary advancement in the age of Aquarius and Christ consciousness and blah, 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 blah. It just goes and goes. So the ascended masters, your aliens, your hierarchical fallen angels, we'll call them, that are coming here as aliens, that's disclosure. It's really, it's going to happen. Sananda Manuel and so forth. Say that we can become like them. Like Christ says, you'll become like us, like me. Well, they're taking off on that. All of mankind, but you got to be prepared for it, is what they're telling them. And those that's not will be sent back somewhere, some other planet. What? Okay. See, so there's some similarities in all these corrupted religions. And Christianity is so split, it's not even funny in so many different areas. And this is part of Christians. We all believe in the same God, right? No, we don't. So they believe Jesus to be a created being. So when Joyce Meyer and when Copeland say that the demons were beating up on Jesus. Now, I played that before. That they were, that Jesus Christ was a first born again Christian. That means born again. What means first born again Christian? Born again means you were a sinner before and now you're born again under the Spirit of God, but accepting him as a Savior. So that means I was a sinner. So you're saying Jesus was a sinner? So that goes along with Jehovah's Witnesses believing that he is a created being. They reject the concept of Christ's substitutionary atonement. That instead, they hold to the ransom theory that Jesus' death was a ransom payment for Adam's sin. So, they claim that the church has corrupted the Bible over the centuries. There you go. So they had to make up something different. So they've retranslated the Bible into what they call the New World Translation. I had someone tell me, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but their translation is one of the best ones on the market. I said, really? You say it was the best one on the market by a Illuminati member? The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society altered the text of the Bible to make it fit their false doctrine. Same thing with the Jerusalem Bible. They changed Jesus to Yeshua. Still wrote in English. Oh, boy. Sananda Manuel is a real Yeshua. And he's a fake Jesus coming. The New World Translation has went through numerous editions as well as, and that's, it's done that because the Jehovah's Witnesses discover more and more scripture that contradicted their doctrines. Then they say, well, Tom, I say, well, what? They say, people tell me, well, Tom, the King James added to the scriptures. I said, it sure did, because the others didn't have everything in them. You're darn right he added to it, because the others were missing. Oh, boy. Well, the Watchtower bases its beliefs and doctrines on the original and expanded teachings of Charles Taze Russell, Judge Joseph Franklin Rutherford, and their successors thereafter and for until today. They keep adding things to it. They're the 144,000. They got more than 144,000. Oops. So they had to change that, too. So, I will tell you one thing about them, though, that there's probably no religious group is more faithful than the Jehovah's Witnesses in getting the message out. And they don't mess around. Although they've been deceived. And so, what do you say? Well, Jehovah's Witnesses say they're the only true Christians, but they're neither Protestant nor Catholic. See, the fundamental doctrinal issues here that separates them from Orthodox Christianity is the Trinity. They say it's a pagan teaching, but they misrepresent it, saying that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit must be three gods. They actually agree with the Trinity doctrine when it says that the Father and the Son are two persons, but they have to prove this to the Trinians, the Trinitarians. Is that what you call them? They actually fail to grasp how the three persons comprise the one being of God. So they come up with the idea of a big God and a little God, two gods. So what they say is that Jesus was created. That's Arianism, not A-R-Y-A-N-I-S-M, but A-R-I-A-N-I-S-M, Arian, A-R-I-A-N-ism. There's that Durnism again. And it was Michael, the archangel, that Jesus' body was not resurrected. It simply disappeared, and he rose as a spirit creature. And they say that the Holy Spirit is not a person, but is Jehovah active force or energy? One thing that I've come up with that in my studies and is something that they actually have too, is that Adam and Eve, when they were first created, had no blood in their bodies, which I would agree with. They were created eternal. At the very beginning, before they sinned. And when they sinned, something happened. They started to die, didn't they? Because they started aging. They got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, no longer eternal life. So what really happened? Well, actually, Jehovah's Witnesses, and I agree with them on this, that was flesh and bone went to flesh and blood. Blood, God changed the body, translated it, changed the body. Where blood began to go through the veins, heart began to beat, and that because the body started to die. That was God's first blood sacrifice with Adam and Eve. But they lived a long time in order to multiply and replenish the earth, and not replenish it from anything created before Adam and Eve, like some people believe, because Adam and Eve said Adam to be the first man, it says in the Bible. I know, Arnold Murray, they say that man was created before Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve was the first Jew line. That's not what the Bible says. That's where they have a mix-up of Genesis 1 versus Genesis 2. Man was created at Genesis 1, and Adam and Eve was created in Genesis 2. Man, I tell you. Satan's been busy, hasn't he? Really busy trying to confuse people. But because they say that Jesus is a demigod, which is what the fallen angels were, but their understanding of salvation and atonement is not correct. They say Jesus, who was the perfect man, he died only to atone for the sin of Adam, and that when we die, our death pays the penalty for our own sin. Now, they say only 10,000 Jehovah's Witnesses today can possibly claim to be born again and have a heavenly hope. The rest, they say, they don't want to go to heaven to be with the Lord, but they want to live forever on a paradise earth called restorationism. There's that darnism again, you see. And so they believe that if they remain faithful and obedient to the end of the millennium, that millennium reign, if they're faithful until then, they will earn the right to be declared righteous. And that's why they have to keep on striving with no assurance of salvation. Now, what I find interesting is that very interestingly parallels with Masonic belief that everybody, all humans, are judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. That's not true. The Great White Throne Judgment are for those sinners that have been in hell this whole time, and then after the 1,000 years, then they're judged by their good works. They're already going to hell, but different levels of hell. That's supported by Scripture. But all those in the Great White Throne are those that's different levels of hell. But the best level of hell is the worst place you want to be, because you're separated from God. And the worst place of hell is the lake of fire. So, that's where they get the good works from. Pile up the good works, you get through the Great White Throne Judgment, but they keep forgetting about the judgment seat of Christ, which is after the rapture, between the second and sixth seal, somewhere there. The Bible, the Scripture, tells of differing degrees of torment in hell. The greater the wickedness, the greater it will be. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. Now, some of this stuff, some of these things, I said, whoa, wow, I didn't realize that. But when I went to Revelation 20, and looked up 11, it said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." Like saying, what? 20:13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works." So that means, what that says there, delivered up the dead. What are the dead then? Those are the ones that separated from God. Death and hell. So they were tormented from the time they died to the end of the 1,000 years, whether it's in the tribulation period, whenever they died, and they were not born again. They went to hell. Well, they were there the whole time until this great white throne judgment time had come after Gog and Magog war. Satan was released for 1,000 years, after 1,000 years. Remember how that worked? And then Jesus defeats Gog and Magog. Armageddon's already been done. And then Satan is thrown in the lake of fire. Well, at that point, the great white throne judgment, he pulls them out of hell. Humans have been in hell this whole time, and then judges them for an eternity of punishment. As it says in 2014, Revelation 2014, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." 2015, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." So that infers different rewards. In hell. And of differing rewards in heaven, depending on one's degree of submission to the work of God, his Spirit, in building Christ-like. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 15. Says, Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, you took Jesus as Savior, but because your work was not the best, you made it to heaven, but by the skin of your teeth. You see, if God imposed no torment in hell, the residents in hell would so vex one another to an unthinkable degree. And he talks about that. It's not me talking. In Jeremiah, when you go to Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So one purpose for the torment is to restrain the expression of their evil. Some need more restraint than others. That's with Scripture. It's not me. So, so they believe if they remain faithful and obedient to the end, they'll earn the right to be declared righteous. That's not what the Bible says. Today's remnant of the 144,000, they say, are in the new covenant, and that Christ Jesus is their mediator. So all must be obedient to the leaders. So that would be the watchtower and society and governing body. And the Mormons have the same thing, don't they? The elders or something. If they wish to survive Armageddon. To disagree with what they say is to disagree with Jehovah, because he uses them to communication to spit the truth. Now they saw with their spiritual eyes of discernment that Christ Jesus started to rule from heaven in 1914. Kind of an invisible second presence. Also, they say that Christ Jesus will never return to earth, but will remain in heaven there to rule with 144,000 over the earth. Now, I find this interesting because the Calvinists believe that Jesus Christ is ruling today. Well, no, Satan is, as allowed by God because of sin. When Jesus comes back, a second coming, that's when Jesus rules. But I've had Calvinists to dig in, man, and say, no, Jesus is ruling today. That matches Jehovah's Witnesses. So with all these unbiblical beliefs, where in the world do you begin to witness the Jehovah's Witnesses? First, you got to learn basic principles I just gave you all. And for me too, there's only one place to begin, and that's with the person of Christ Jesus. That person, Christ Jesus, is the place to start. The deity is foundation of Christianity. Well, Christianity, we know, is convoluted, so of being a Christ follower. They're unable, the witnesses are unable to grasp the significance of Jesus' death. That's why they must be born again in order to have the sins forgiven. And before they can have all their trust in the finished work of Christ Jesus, they have to understand that they're not saved. Boy, that's a hard one, let me tell you, to do. How can we tell someone else they're not saved? Whew. But that means that they're presently lost in their sin. What keeps you from getting lost in your sin? Conviction. What lets you know that you're saved? Because you feel different when you commit the same sins you did before. Or you don't do what you did before. There's a change in you. Just saying that prayer of salvation that they get you to say in the church, don't get it. You got to mean it. So no witness has the assurance of salvation. They even think you're arrogant when you say you do. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit to those who belong to the Father through Christ. Romans 8:16. Romans 8:16. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness, that we are the children of God. I cannot believe we're already 15 minutes. This is going by too fast. Now, the full deity of Jesus Christ then can only be revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. But to the witnesses, the Holy Spirit's a thing, not a person. So when you witness to the witnesses, it's got to be done in love and with compassion, and not sarcasm, not accusatory. They've been deceived. They believe a false gospel. Yet many have a genuine love for God and are sincere in their belief. Don't be afraid of them. Go to 1 John 4:17-19. And not have the fear. Let them know how much you care about their eternal salvation if they're still standing in front of you. Like me, in my house, they're probably on the way out toward the door to the car. But share your Christian testimony with them. Talk to them. Discuss spiritual matters with them, which that means you got to know it. Don't allow them to conduct what they describe as a Bible study either. It's actually a study of their literature. And they're not going to read any non-watchtower literature or attend the church service. So that's not going to happen. You've got to be able to do it right then and right there. And they say they will only accept what the Bible says, but their New World Translation has been altered to reflect their theology. And virtually every reference in the New Testament to the deity of Christ Jesus has been removed. They'll say that yours is altered. Yours is corrupted. You know, it comes as a surprise to them that to meet people who love the Lord, display the fruit of the Spirit, and use the Bible as a basis for their faith, Hebrews 4:12. They speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. But what you should do, and direct all the conversation to the person of Christ, and the need to you put your total faith in what he's done. But don't allow them to lead you down the path that they wish you to take. Namely, considering how you can survive Armageddon to live on a paradise earth. It's not going to happen. It's not the gospel. One of the most important things is to pray for him. Something else you might do. If you only have like 5 minutes to spend with a Jehovah's Witness, and that's probably about realistically, try walking them through the passages of Scripture, passages that bear witness to the reality of the deity of Jesus Christ, and sharing these passages. What are those? You might start by reading with Jehovah's Witnesses, Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, after reading that verse together to them, for ask them the question, who is the Alpha and the Omega? They might say something like, well, it says right there, the Alpha and Omega is the Lord God or Jehovah God in their translation. So then you might say, number two, you might ask them if they will read another passage of Scripture, read another one with you, and read from Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Now, when you read that verse, ask them, now, who exactly is the Alpha Omega, the first and the last? Now, if they're still standing there, they might respond with saying something like, we just saw who is the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, and he's the Lord God or Jehovah God in their translation. So now lastly, ask them if they'll look at one more passage with you and read from them Revelation 1, 17 to 18. So in Revelation 1, 17 to 18, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Ouch. Now, after reading that last passage, ask him, so when exactly did Lord God or Jehovah God in the translation die? Most of them will look at that passage and be a little bewildered. For you've just shown them conclusively from their own translation that Jesus is Lord God or Jehovah God. And if you want to demonstrate this reality even further, read with them from Revelation 22, 13 and 16. And there where the Alpha and Omega says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. Ouchy, ouch, and double ouch. Now, that series of passages is a powerful tool in a 5-minute encounter with a Jehovah's Witness. They demonstrate that Jesus Christ is Lord God, Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is not simply a God, but a created being. He's the eternal Lord God. And when they come to your front door, instead of just turning them away or jumping on them, try sharing these three passages and see what happens. God could use you powerfully. It might only take 5 minutes. That's what I wanted to pass on to y'all tonight. A quick shot of how to deal with a Jehovah's Witness. And that's why I gave you those principles of John 3:16, to show that God loves you. Romans 3:23, that realize everybody's a sinner. Romans 6:23, realize that sin has a price that must be paid. Romans 5, verse 8, realize that Jesus Christ died to pay the price. And then pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and claim His promise of eternal life. Romans 10:35. Now, I can see we're probably going into next Tuesday, to the next, but because I got more to talk about in this regard. I think this is needed. And there's ways that you can talk to the New Agers, people in the New Age. Seventh-day Adventists is really difficult. Because they got some wild ideas in their, and they come so close to the truth. The word of faith, that's all of your TBN, T.D. Jakes, Copeland, Joyce Myers. Man, they are tricky because they come so close. And people fall in love with them. They love them. They say, like, I don't believe, show me where. When someone says, show me, what they're wanting to do is they want you to see the references so they can shoot it down. See, someone says to me something outrageous, I'm immediately going to start finding it myself anyway. If I can't find it, I go back and say, now, where'd you see that? If I'm able to talk to them again. But someone tells me something, and I think, that's crazy. Now, if I say, well, now prove it to me. Show me. What I'm trying to do, seven times out of ten, in my opinion, is I want them to tell me what their evidence is so I can shoot it down. Prove to me there's a God. Yeah, prove it to me so I can shoot it down. Instead of me going to find out myself. That's my first indicator. My first flag goes up about what they call shields or something. Or those that's, you know, there to disprove it or to attack you, whatever. They prove it to me. Show me. Where is it? Who said that? They want to know so they can shoot it down. I don't mind telling them, you know, it's not a problem, but, you know, but that's how they do that. Controlled opposition. Well, we got 5 minutes to go. I've been contemplating going with my broadcast 5 to 7 and Bible studies 8 to 9. That's still in my mind because we got, seems like a different crew that comes in, we'll call it that, of listeners, and talk stream live at 5 o'clock. So I'm considering the changing over to 1 hour later. I just may not mess with it. Just leave it like it is. So if anybody's got any ideas, I'm open to listen. If 5 o'clock's a better time than 4 to start, or it really doesn't matter because I do record it. But I did some research. And I found this handbook of biblical heresies. And I had no idea how many there were. I mean, it's massive. It is absolutely massive. And then when you say, well, wait a minute, what makes you right and them wrong? Well, you'll read it and you'll find out. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe in annihilation, that you die and you just, there's no eternal punishment. Denial of the deity of Christ. Denial of the deity of the Holy Spirit. Denial of eternal security. Denial of literal burning hell. Denial of literal second coming of Christ. Denial of the physical resurrection of Christ. That's real similar to Shepherd's Chapel. Denial of the Trinity. Salvation is through works. That's similar to Roman Catholic Church and Freemasonry. So they got it all listed. I mean, it's just amazing. Well, I hope this helped you tonight in dealing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I wasn't able to cover everything. The next time we'll have Bible study, I will continue on with this, but also I'll set up here some of the objections and what you can answer for them. I'm a Baptist, Methodist, or Catholic. My membership of a church? No. They're just hypocrites in the church. I don't like it. Okay, well, here's the answer. Well, maybe later. Or I don't want to give up my sins. Say what? I don't want to give them up. Oh, okay. Or I'm afraid I can't live the Christian life. I just don't think I can do it. Or I'm waiting until I become better. Oh, I got answers for these. I'd have to give up too much. I don't want to do it. Or I think one way is as good as another, as long as you're sincere. I got answers for all these. Now, I don't believe in hell, they say. I got an answer for these. I will cover it next week. There's so much to it. That's why I want to give you some basic principles tonight, just to work on. And if I miss something, let me know so I can work on. We'll share it. I sense, just my opinion, that the supernatural is, no pun intended, getting a leg up. That there's increased supernatural activity going on around. That's increasing in the lives. And the presence of supernatural activities also increasing. And they're getting more power because we're turning away. 19 churches now have authorized or have made legal homosexual marriage. They're looking to now make abortion legal. This is part of their principles. I found that in some places. This is listed as one of the principles to make abortion legal, homosexual marriage legal. Do as thou wilt is the end result. And the more they do, the more God pulls away, the further away he pulls, giving more latitude for evil to work. And that is in Scripture, so that's not a surprise at all. Closer, you're getting ready to go home. You see. Anyway, y'all be ready, though, for heavy rolls coming. Just be ready. We'll close in prayer and move right along. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in a Bible study, Father. Father, we know that this is practice, that, Lord, that you'll be there with us, that you'll carry us through, give us the words to speak, the protection. But in times of trouble, Lord, you'll be there to get us through it. Father, to give us opportunities and soften the hearts of those we talk to, that, Father, give us the words to speak, that we can introduce Jesus Christ to those that don't know. Protect our families with your Holy Spirit. Spread the blood of Jesus around us for these attacks supernaturally and from those witch covens, and Father, to tear down their protection, to make them open the Holy Spirit. Lord, if that be your will, to call them to you, that those that you know is going to accept. But Father, we give us that strength and opportunity we can witness. Father, to give us discernment and wisdom for the end times, we can see through the deception that's yet to come. And Father, we pray for more opportunities for Bible study and for healings of our families, and Lord, to continue on. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray in your Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, any other things come up, let me know. Or if you have any recommendations, ideas, or something I didn't cover or need to cover or change, let me know. I'm all open to that as well. I'm not a theologian, but I do an inordinate amount of research. But, you know, sometimes I can make a mistake, so let me know if I have. So y'all have a great weekend. And one of my favorite songs I play it off. I like to end it sometimes with one of those. I like this one, really. I like the way it sounds. I got several. You know, I will tell you one thing before I leave. A big change for me, an indicator, was, it's kind of bad, but I'll tell you anyway. When I stopped drinking hard liquor about 5 years ago. Sometimes I'll have a beer with a meal, one. I'll drink wine, red wine, on occasion. But I stopped completely, cold turkey. I just stopped drinking the hard stuff. I just quit. I didn't have a desire to do it anymore. I think I still got that bottle of Jack Daniels. It's not a little plane bottle. You know, you get the little ones in the airplanes. I got one about 5 years ago. Never opened it. Still haven't. Well, the other change that it just kind of crept up on me, when I checked, one day I realized that I was listening to religious music, even though it was Christian rock or whatever, but it was, what they call it, one of the Christian channels that plays the songs, and I quit listening to the rock and roll, to the oldies, almost any of it. I just kind of didn't listen to it. I don't dance around like a teenager like I used to, like a nutcase. I mean, I used to, at 50 years old, I was like, yeah, all right. But I don't do that anymore. I don't feel it. It's not there. It's gone. I don't listen to the rock and roll. I'm not interested anymore. And I was a heavy bar goer. That ended. And it was like, wow, I just don't feel like it anymore. There's other things that pop in my head that I still work on, but those things, they completely changed. They stopped. And I noticed on my radio, every one of the channels where you program had one of the religious channels on. I said, wow, there's a difference. So I can tell you through testimony that you have a changes. He'll give you some changes. Some things will change. Not everything, no. Won't, not at all. But some things he'll say, I'm here with you, and he'll remove it from you. But he leaves something else to keep you there. Keep you humbled on purpose. A thorn in the side, which is a good thing. Because that makes you feel conviction. That's him saying, don't you do that now. And then when you've done the right thing, it's like you've got a pack taken off your back. It's like, wow, you kind of know you did the right thing. Not something you did say or didn't say, or you accomplished, or you helped somebody, whatever. And you have that feeling. It's real, y'all. So I won't play that song on the end, and I'm going to say y'all have a great weekend. God bless. This is your Watchman, signing off.
Here it is.